36 commentary giants. For years, these famous faces have graced our television screens with some brilliant one-liners and expert analysis. But how good were they in terms of their actual cricketing ability? Today, on this special episode of Three Shots in a Dot, we rank them based on their skills, from all the way at the top and the goated players to those that played their best cricket with a mic in hand. Now we'll debate where to rank them tooth and nail, so stay tuned to find out who is actually the best of this bunch. Okay, the first one then, Russell Arnold, Sri Lankan batsman, opened for a bit, batted six for a bit. Decent left-hander, some test runs. What are we thinking? Yeah. Where does he belong to kick off the list?
When I see Russell Arnold, for some reason I think, you guys play that stick cricket game.
Oh, yeah.
One of the stick cricket players. He should just be this tall, lanky batsman. Nah, I liked him. He was a good Maloro batsman.
I'll go overrated. Personally, I'll go overrated. I think there were enough all-rounders in that team that were better than him. Sana Jayasuriya, for example, opened the batting, took more wickets than him, scored more runs than him. I think he's definitely overrated. As a commentator as well, I think he's probably one of the only few Sri Lankans that have become commentators.
If you're saying that he's overrated, that means that people rate him. Do you think people rate him? Because I don't think people rate him.
No, I mean, just the fact that he's so much in the public eye and people still, like, during his commentary, people talk about his
I don't think that anyone serious would have put him amongst the good or the better top order batsman. So I'm gonna say
no, but how many tests did he? He's got 1,800 test runs at 28. Right, the fact that he played that many games, they shouldn't have given him that many chances.
He played around people that it was tough to outshine. So you got to think of it that way.
Fair enough. I mean, his ODI stats look better. He averaged 35.
Yeah. No, when I think Russell Arnold, I don't think a test player. I think ODI in the dark blue kit. Like, that's the picture comes to mind. And I'd say he was good.
So I would
okay,
go good.
Think of it this way, right? Put Russell Arnold in that Sri Lankan side now, which is dog shit, and he's going to stand out.
I don't even think he'll stand out. I mean, look at the batsman. They got, like, Chanimal. You think he's better than Chanimal?
Chanimal is in form now, but at the back end of his career, he's like, it was almost...
Yeah, but just looking at test cricket, he's definitely better than Russell.
Yeah, okay, I get where you're going. And he played well recently as well.
What is the consensus?
To Angelo Matthews, that's the equivalent.
I'm saying good.
Kuf says good.
Good.
Chris is overrated.
Overrated.
Well, now...
I'm just saying good.
I'm on the fence with that one. So we're going to go Russell Arnold as the first one of the lot as a good cricketer. Divesh is unhappy there. Next up then, this might be less of a debate. Wasim Akram.
Goat, straight up.
Yeah, me too. Goat, straight up as a commentator and a coach and a bowler.
As a swing bowler, I'd go to him as well.
I'm going to pop him straight up there because,
Wasim. And a test double 100. So.
Let's not forget double 100.
Yeah,
I think the wicket speak for itself, but the fact that he can give you some runs batting at 8 or 7 or whatever, I mean, that's priceless.
People don't really consider him as being an all-rounder, which he was. I mean, he
gave
a fair few runs.
Oh,
but
he was
a shining light as a bowler. Yeah, like I said, one of the fathers of swing bowling. I mean, he's one of the guys that made us realize what proper swing bowling was. So yeah, I'd go to him as a swing bowler.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right, we're gonna move on pretty quickly. Wasim was absolutely excellent, 414 test wickets. So next then, Attar Ali Khan, the man of the mayor. He's been doing it repeatedly on commentary, but as a cricketer on his ability, how good was he? For me personally, I think he should have gone back to club cricket. I mean, he barely played much international cricket, and even when he did, didn't do exactly well.
Yeah, I don't know who he is as a cricketer.
Yeah.
So, he's
an English-speaking Bangladeshi commentator. That's how I know him.
That tells the story. He's only got 532 runs in ODIs. He barely played. He played like 15 matches or something. We're going to go back to club cricket, if that's okay with everyone.
I agree with you.
Next up then, Mike Atherton.
I think good, personally. Well, I don't know. I'm stuck with the good and world class, but I think that average, that many games.
Look, anyone that scored over 7,000 runs, in tears.
Mm. No, but the thing is, England at that time when he was in the team wasn't that great. And he,
yes,
like if you compare the England team that's playing now, Mike Atherton would never make into that side and you would never play 115 test matches, right? So I would say Mike was a brilliant commentator, good cricketer. I'll say good is where
I think good is fair.
No, I think good is fair as well.
Yeah, I like him a little bit more as a commentator, but yeah, okay. Yeah, he's good.
Averaged almost 40. I think solid cricketer all around. Athers goes in as good. Then the next one and the first of a few that might be
bottom goat, straight up.
We're calling that the bottom goat, okay? So Harsha Bogle,
bottom goat.
He's a man. Played the best cricket with the mic.
He's a goat. Yeah, I mean, he realized at a young age that listen, playing this game is not for me. I'd rather just speak about others playing this
retired
game.
Retired at 19, but...
Retired at 19, that's classic. That's,
yeah.
That's knowing your limitations in life.
You he's influenced almost every cricket-watching human being's life at some point, because if you've watched cricket ever and you haven't heard Harsha Bogle speak, or is it Bogle? However you want to pronounce it. I mean, the man is a legend. So, cool. We even though it says played his best cricket with a mic, I think we're going to reserve that in a way for commentary goats.
Bottom goats, so commentary goats, absolutely.
It's in red, but yeah. Don't take it as meaning it's the worst of the kind. Next up is Carlos Brathwaite, remember the name, Ian Bishop.
Oh,
where
yeah.
does he belong?
I rate him, double rate him as well. Bang off a bowler, bang off a commentator. He's not a very standout commentator, but... He does the basics right, articulates his words correctly, captures the audience. I know we're talking about cricket. He was also very good. I mean, talking about commentary, he's also a very good bowler. But yeah, I like him. He's a serious man with ball and with mic. World class.
World class as well. I agree with you 100%. I think with Ian Bishop is tough because he got injured at a very young age. A lot of those stress fractures back in the game. You know, they rated him higher than sort of Ambrose. So, I mean... If he was fully fit, who knows what he could have done, but his figures speak for itself and on commentary is brilliant.
I mean, obviously, Ian Bishop played in a time well before we got to truly appreciate cricket. And from the highlights you do see and from the talk you do hear from people of that era in cricket, it was fantastic. I mean, he's got a lot of wickets in a short, very short career span compared to the rest. So I'm going to go with world class as well. Kof, any disagreements?
Nah, I agree.
Bish is world class. Then next up, Ian Beefy Botham. Now we come to Divi first. Give us your thoughts as a beefy Londoner,
as a fellow Englishman, fellow Englishman. I'm a fan. Ian Botham. I'm a big fan. I think he was a character of the game. He scored the runs when it mattered. He was definitely. Lethal with the ball. I mean, he played in an era where England were probably not as good as they should have been. But he did stand out. And I think on commentary as well, he added some insight. And he wasn't scared to say the controversial stuff. I think that's the greatest part about it.
He wasn't scared to live a controversial life. I mean,
exactly.
There was a weed debacle that got him dropped because of the newspapers. So, yeah, cricketer.
As a cricketer, as a commentator, I love him. I would go personally world class. I'm happy for that to be debated amongst the rest of you guys.
I don't disagree.
Neither.
Yeah, no, I agree as well. I think
the thing is that we were not fortunate enough to watch him in his prime.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're just going on history there and the way people speak about him and the high regard that people keep in him.
Anyone that scores 5,000 test runs and has 27 fifers to his name. That's class. he's done it on both ends and definitely is up there in that all-rounder debate. But yeah, so we're going to go beefy, world class.
Yeah, world class.
Next up then, another Englishman, Mark Butcher. Career cut short, had various injury issues. 4,000-odd test runs. Played in an interesting period. What do we think?
He's the type of cricketer you can say. I mean, look at his... Sorry, career, and he's pretty monotone on commentary. I would say, you know, go back to club.
I'll give you that. I'll concede that because he was brilliant for Sorry, but not for England. So, yeah, sad to say, but Mark Butcher, go back to club cricket, I guess.
I can't provide too much of a motivation against it, so yeah.
Okay, back to club cricket it is for England. Next okay. up, we have Michael Clarke, former Australian captain, number three, number four, batted in a solid middle order. What are we thinking?
I don't think he's world class. He was good.
I don't think he's world class either.
If there's a category between world class and good, then he'll be there.
Somewhere above average. I agree with that.
He had a CS average of 49. He had an ODI average of almost 45.
he was a banger batsman. He's a banger character as well. But even as a commentator.
But we're saying he wasn't world class. So we're in agreement that he was. If there was a category called great, we'd probably pop him in there. But for today's purposes, he's going to go down.
I'd say good. Because the way I look at it is, I say, okay, if you're world class and you think of a team that you'd pick, would Michael Clarke be in it? No. If you're picking 15 people to do a commentary of a tournament, would you pick Michael Clarke? No. So, but he would be the team that you'd play against, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The second.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah, the second best 11. Yeah.
So he's there and thereabouts, but definitely not world class. I think, like you guys said, in between sort of world class and good. So I'll take good.
Solid. Mm. Okay, next up then, Simon Dooley-Dool.
Now, Simon Dooley-Dool, affected by injury, stats don't speak for himself, etc.
Yes.
I don't know where to put this guy, so I'm putting him right at the bottom because I think he's an amazing commentator.
I think he's an amazing commentator as well. I agree with you, Simon. Yeah,
but then I can't say he's good because that kind of puts him in the middle, so... Straight down.
So we're going played his best cricket with a mic. And not to say that he played horrible cricket. We're just saying he's so good of a commentator. He's even better than the cricket. Cool enough.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
We'll go with that. Next up then, and this one is sure to bring up some very good memories. Sourav Ganguly.
World class.
I'm going to go there too.
I agree.
As an ODI batsman, I mean, starting off watching that Indian cricket side with him and Tendulkar up top. Yeah, he was just class. It was a lot of almost surgical precision, knocking the ball through the covers and pinching runs.
But that's the thing with Ganguly. Like, he's one of those batsmen who scored runs, but I just always felt like he was uncomfortable at the crease, but he was still doing the bits.
So, yes, he did.
Like Joe Root kind of, Steve Smith kind of player.
Yeah.
Do you disagree, though, that he was world class, Kof?
I don't disagree.
There's no argument against.
No.
I mean,
no.
He's Dada, basically, as you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Fellow Indian cricketer who himself was an incredible batsman, Sunil Gavaskar, defined an era.
Goat.
All the way up at goat.
I think it's nonsense. I think
it's nonsense. This is because of that one innings.
I think it's never in a day.
100%.
Nah, come on.
No, I think it's rubbish. Honestly, I think Sunil Gavaskar. So I just want to give you guys the insight.
Rubbish is a bit harsh, but continue.
Look at the time that he played. He probably was the best at facing in that England, the West Indian pace attack. He was probably the best, right? But for me, considering what came after him, and then, because the way I look at it as a combination of, was he a good cricketer? Was he a good commentator? How do I? And then I use a sort of amalgamation of the two. I think he's overrated. I think 100%. I think there's no other category that's more suited to him than overrated.
I'm going to give it to you only because you used the word amalgamated. I didn't expect that. Because you used that word, I would give it to you.
Look, I can understand the argument. And I'm happy to concede as well. I personally think that, apart from his stats, there is this constant conversation that he helped define a sense of work ethic in Indian cricket. He had a very solid defense, but was also very hard working off the field. So the cricketers that came alongside, I mean, even though he didn't perform in that Kapil's devil side, he was one of the core focuses to driving that team forward. So I think based on that alone, giving India, 1982? Giving India that hope, it probably defined Indian cricket forever. But we can go overrated.
He defined Indian cricket in 1984 final. We did f*** all in the whole World Cup.
No, I agree.
I agree, but for them to get to that point, for them to get to that point, a lot of it, and I'm pretty sure if you go back and ask all those Tatas what made them train and play the way they did, a lot of it was Sunny. So, I don't know. Are we going overrated? Are we really going overrated, yeah?
Look, I'm going good, but if I'm outvoted, I'm outvoted. But I just want to say, whatever the f*** you guys say, Sunny is a G, man.
Look, if we take it to a straight vote, and Divyesh goes overrated, I go GOAT. Kuf?
Oof. Kuf said overrated. It's a tie.
I'm not going to do something ugly. I would have said good.
We can settle on good.
So now we're going to settle on good. This feels like sacrilege. Ooh. But we're going to go Sunny as good.
Guys, we got Michael Clark, Michael Atherton, Sonny G, and Russell Arnold sitting together. Now, come on, Russell Arnold, come on.
Yeah, that's a fair argument.
Like I said, my votes are a combination of.
Yeah.
Same with me. I'm also really good as commentators.
Like, good can have many subcategories.
Yeah.
We're saying good means they're not GOAT, they're not world class, they're not overrated, so there's something else.
Look, it's hard for us to speak about his cricketing abilities because we haven't watched him dominate in that era or whatever. But scoring, okay, let me put it to you this way, right? Would you pick Sunil Gavaskar over Michael Clark in your side? No.
Yeah.
You would never.
Not in this day and age. Michael Clark played 30 years later.
Exactly, that's the difficult thing about it now, because you're now comparing different eras.
What we're saying then is, if you're going to pick him now and you're comparing different eras, you have to go, do you think he would have not been able to do a different job in the modern era? I think he is technically sound.
No, bullshit. I think it would have been Puteshwar Pujara. That's what he would have done.
You would have been a Pujara. Okay, so we're going to leave it at that. Sunny Paji, as they call him, has invoked a lot of feelings here.
So
we'll move on to the next one. Okay, so next up then, Adam Gilchrist.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I'll put him in world class because a really good commentator. I like him as a character and good batsman.
Left-hand bat class. The Sri Lankans will remember him quite well. Gilly is definitely world-class. One of the best keepers to ever grace the game, I think.
He redefined that sort of being a keeper vibe. Because before, keepers were just being picked on being a keeper. He put that batting part.
Absolutely.
I think he also brought that aggressive opener thing back into the picture. He was like the first aggressive wicketkeeper opener, because I remember he played T20 as an opener.
He opened the batting in one day cricket for Australia.
With Matthew Hayden. He did, and then he batted seven in test sometimes. But Gilly, solid, cool. Next up then, Michael Olding. We were talking about Ian Bishop earlier, whispering death. I think he has to go all the way up there.
I would go gold.
And as a commentator, he was a genuine. I'm not even waiting for responses.
Just
okay, go. I would say world class, but anyway,
There's a small chat about how he was clocked at bowling 160 k's in a time where that was the max on the speed gun. In the year of his retirement, they clocked him bowling 148. So they were saying the argument stands that he could have possibly been the only bowler ever to bowl 170 k's, and we will never know. But nonetheless, Michael Olding, quality up in the GOAT or the GOATed category. Next up, then Nasser Hussain. Good captain.
Overrated.
I'm not sure. I think we're all there.
I was gonna call him good, but I'm scared now. Let's overrated. He's not as good as those good O's.
Overrated. Look at his average. His average is trash.
No nonsense.
Yeah, I also think so. I think Nasser came in.
He's like definitely overrated person, by Divesh's definition. Everybody just hypes him up for some reason.
Yeah.
They go off the captaincy thing like they have done with some other players in cricket history. But yeah, as a cricketer, on his ability, apart from the captaincy directly, overrated. 100%.
Off topic. Cricketing ability, captaincy-wise, how would you compare Nasser Hussain and Michael Vaughan?
No, they're the same. They're both shit. What about shit? The only thing Michael Vaughan had going for him, he had Steve Harmison in his side. Specifically that 2005 Ashes series. He had Harmison that killed everyone. And then he had Kevin Peterson that just got into the side.
Oh, yes.
He demolished him. And he caught Flint off in form. I think Michael Vaughan took over a good side. That's my opinion.
Talking about Michael Vaughan, it might be worth it to go and pop him in and overrate it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
Michael Vaughan's on our list. Two times England captains being overrated together. Master and Michael Vaughan. Combs, you got arguments there?
No. Agree for both of them. We're not saying
they were pathetic cricketers, but they were rated as being world class, and they're definitely not.
That's a function of all English sports people, man. Like, you know, they have the most average football player, and then, you know, it's like, oh, it's going to be the next Ronaldo.
Bati, we are back at Dinesh Karthik. DK?
Yeah, no, I'm struggling with this one because I really like him as a character and as a commentator. We've seen him in IPL recently as a really good finisher, but overall, he's not a good cricketer. I mean, we know that he also... But give him credit. For playing in an era where it was hard to be Dinesh Karthik because his speciality was a wicketkeeper and you had to overcome Dhoni.
I'm going to say from my side, DK is overrated, right?
No.
But,
overrated? But, no.
Yes.
I don't think he's overrated. I think he's a great...
And to back my argument up, it's you always rating him. I don't think he's done anything other than being exciting at times and maybe being a good commentator. That
shit.
I mean, what has he done?
No, that's what I said. What I said, as a cricketer in general, he was good at best, right? The latter end of his career, the last 4 or 5 years, world class. The latter end of his career, commentator, world class.
Well, then wait, right? We're basing a lot of this on the IPL. He's never performed at that level on the international stage. In domestic cricket, he has like 15,000.
But he had to compete against Dhoni. Like, that's ridiculous. He was never going to get a spot in the side.
It's unfair for us to say he's never played on the international stage because he was never
Look, there were other people that he competed with. Parthiv Patel, for example. Ishan Kishan. Rishabh Pant. If they really wanted him to play more games...
Okay.
They've selected keepers as out and out batsmen. Remember, Ambati Raidu was a keeper at a point.
Yeah, but
I don't know. Are we gonna say he's good and give one?
The thing is that I don't think he's rated enough for us to call him overrated. I don't think people rate him in that discussion. I'd put him.
No, you know what? I have a soft spot for him, and I must talk about this. That. Murali Vijay.
That's
why I have a soft spot for Dinesh Karthik.
That seemed to kickstart his career, so you must thank
him. And he got a better after.
Yeah, he got a better.
Did him a favor. No, I think one above that. I was going to go one above that.
Back to club cricket.
No. But the ranking is not a ranking. Back to club cricket is the worst. When you go red, you like boosted up the social ranking.
I don't think he's good enough to be best with the mic. I think he was a better cricketer than he was on the mic. Come on.
Oh, do you guys remember he went and became a commentator that England versus India tour, and they told him, why don't you go back and play IPL? I remember the guys who commentated like, what the what are you doing in the commentary box? Look at this guy finishing games 50 off 17.
No, but it's clear because he would commentate on England versus India internationals and then go play IPL and Ranji Trophy and all that shit. Back to club cricket. I think that's...
No, you can't.
We have literally, apart from GOAT, put Dinesh Karthik in every category in the last...
No, he's not world class.
I'm giving you guys one last chance, right? Combs, where does he belong?
I can't back to club.
No, I don't want an argument. I want you to tell me where.
No, right at the bottom or world class.
What?
Kuf goes good.
Divi?
I don't think he's good, bro. I think that one was called club cricket, bro.
So Dinesh Karthik is going back to club cricket because I was along those lines.
That's so harsh.
There we go. There we go.
Right, sorry,
that's
Murali.
Hatta Ali Khan is now being compared to Dinesh Karthik. That's f***ed up. That is f***ed up, you guys.
I think it's fair, dude. I think it's fair.
No, I get what you're saying, right? Yes, he was a good club cricketer. I know that. But these rankings, to me, in my head, are rankings. I'm not taking it literally.
No, we're not taking it literally either. But we're saying he wasn't good. Maybe he wasn't overrated because not enough people rated him. Yeah, he wasn't better with the mic than as a cricketer. And he definitely wasn't world-class or a GOAT. So, we're going to call him back. Go back to club cricket. Because he's great as a club cricketer.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Next
sorry,
up,
Dinesh. Sorry, yeah. These I'm working with you.
Next up, then. 3 weeks ago. So. Let's debate on the next one. Brett Lee. Surely it's not going to be too much of an argument here.
GOAT.
World class.
Huh? You just say GOAT for everything. He's world class. I agree, world class. Not GOAT.
World class. No. He was a banger.
Best of the best, bro.
Look,
come on.
Everyone can't be one of the greatest of all time.
No. Brett Lee for Australian fast bowling changed the dynamic, right?
He did.
Nice person, changed the dynamic. As a commentator, I think he's a brilliant guy. He's a singer. Have you seen him?
Because he sang a Charo song. He's you, bruh. Come on.
Have you guys watched that show? That show, what is it called? Breakfast with Champions. Have you guys watched Breakfast Champions? Do me a favor, go and watch. It's a YouTube whole channel, Breakfast of Champions. Brett Lee is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And
nothing on this tier list that gives people points for being nice guys. I'm sorry.
I think he was a banger of a fast bowler.
But was he one of the greatest fast bowlers ever?
No.
Yes, he stands out to me as one of the fastest bowlers. I'm voting.
Yes. I agree that he was one of the fastest bowlers, not that he's one of the greatest fast bowlers.
Sean Tate is one of the fastest bowlers.
I'm gonna ask you.
Yeah, but now Brett Lee and Sean Tate. Brett Lee stands out miles ahead of Sean Tate,
I don't think Brett Lee rushes you, bro.
Mondi Zondeki was pretty quick.
that's my point exactly, right? These guys shouldn't be in the conversation.
Yes, my man.
The speed gun says, yeah, one thing, right? But when you think about fast bowlers, you think Brett Lee, you think Shoaib Akhtar.
You are not debating us putting him down as a bad cricketer. We're calling him world class. We're just not saying that he's one of the greatest
he's
ever.
He's not a GOAT. He's definitely world class. I don't think he's a GOAT.
Unfortunately, Coombs, three guys there outrank you. He's world class. That is where Binger finishes off. Next one, Pommy Mbangwa.
Stay at the bottom. He's a commentating GOAT.
On a mic. One of the greatest commentators.
Best commentators I've ever. Yeah. Next to Danny Morrison. Let's bring him up. While we're talking about Pommy Mbangwa, I can see him at the back end of the list.
We can pop Danny Morrison back in there.
I know Danny played cricket. What did he do though? Like
Danny Morrison was a swing bowler. Out swinger was his stock ball from what I have heard. He bowls medium fast and he got about 116 or 115 test wickets, if I'm not mistaken.
So I'll read that. 160. Danny Morrison, 160 test wickets, right?
His ODI figures they read well as well. 126 ODI wickets at an average of 27.5. So definitely decent.
I like the way the bottom is looking. And, you know, like I said, it's inverted for me. Because if I look at those four characters at the bottom, if they are commentating on a game, it generally brings, or it's a box office game, or it brings, you know, bigger audiences to watch the game. And yeah, for me, those are my commentating goats.
I was going to say that we're talking about strike rates, Danny Morrison's strike rate in Test cricket. Mpumalelo Mbangwa has that very unwanted record of a strike rate of 124.4, the highest for any bowler in ODIs that has bowled more than 1,000 balls. What a wonderful stat. Divi, you also like the part about him being a true number 11.
I love it.
He has a test average of 2 and an ODI average of 4.
No, I love it. This guy is a legend. This guy is a legend in the game.
For half my life, I thought he was South African.
I mean,
Cristiano Ronaldo got 100% for maths? No. What matters is he's a goat with his feet, right? And Pommy is a goat with the mic.
Yeah, I know. So great. So he chose the wrong career. Cricket wasn't for him.
No, but commentary. But that's exactly. what you're saying is, right? So Pommy wasn't good at cricket, but he's commentating on cricket. That's like, oh, getting 5% for maths and then go lecturing maths. That's exactly what.
isn't that what maths teachers and lecturers do when you get 5% of maths?
Those who can't do it teach. You know what I'm saying?
We all did well in maths. Why the f*** aren't we teaching maths? Exactly.
That is a fair point.
Valid.
Signed, sealed, closed, delivered. That closes that debate. Next then, Owen Morgan, former Irishman, then English captain, qualified Ireland for a World Cup and played in the same World Cup for England.
Yeah, Morgs for me is in between. He's that Clarky character for me. In between
good
class and you guys can tip.
I agree. We'll go as good. We're talking about poor English captains, and it's so ironic that the one really good one here was an Irishman. Because Owen Morgan was a brilliant captain. I think in the IPL and for the English cricket team, he redefined how England played cricket. He came into a side and basically said, now we reinventing ourselves. And then he won a World Cup doing exactly that, playing attacking cricket.
It is that word that we use that captains should have. He was selfless.
Selfless. Showed counter-attacking ability. There's so much more he did. He even brought that sweep and reverse sweep into contention. I think, people remember Dilshan and AB for their, reverse flicks, those scoops and those scoops and whatever. But if you watch English cricket now, you are not told off for playing the reverse sweep because it's a part of the game now. And before Morgs's time, it was uncanny.
Morgs did it in the face of criticism because it was totally un-English to play this unorthodox style of cricket. But kudos to him. Brilliant cricketer, and I think brilliant character. Next up then, on the note of brilliant characters, Mark Nicholas. I think... You said you want to close the bottom. Mark Nicholas, 1,000,000
Okay.
Played his best with the mic in hand.
Yeah, agreed.
Hey, look, he is said to have missed out on an England call-up, even though he was captain of the A-side, because of some...
Oh, did he even try to play cricket? I don't even know that, but I know he's a banger commentator.
Yeah, he's a good cricketer. I mean, he's got 18,000 first-class runs. What do you mean?
No, he's a proper cricketer.
An average of like almost 35, but like...
But I think regardless of Mark Nicholas's performances...
As a commentator.
He's such a brilliant commentator that he has to go down.
Fantastic.
That's my point, exactly. So right at the bottom there is not for trick players. It's for people with amazing abilities.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, amazing. Exactly.
100%. Okay, next up then, I think a fairly good commentator, but... A brilliant cricketer as well, Sean Pollock.
No, I'm biased. Yeah, he's going right to the top for me.
I agree, 100%.
Look, Kuf, it's going to be 3-1. So either way, I'm going to go with my bias because Pollock was my favorite cricketer growing up.
This is my dude. That's why I went to Northwood.
When people talk about a gracious fast bowling action, don't come here and tell me that Pollock didn't have one. It was wonderful. The man was great through the bat. He was at a point up there with Cullis as the top all-round in the world, as per the ICC.
And when they asked Pollock about that, he said, back in the day, I can't remember if he played with DHS or Northwood. He said, you're just expected to do both. So it wasn't a thing of like, I want to be like an all-round. You just expected to do both. So he wanted to be a bowler. But he knew he had a responsibility with the bat. But he was f***ing good with the bat as well,
Unbelievable. I love it.
And
32 in test cricket is proper.
He is literally the player that South African cricket has been crying for. We spoke about this in the previous episode. We don't have a player to back the tail up there. And
we kind of want Jansen to be like him, I guess.
Yeah. 100%.
I personally would have put him in the same class as like a Gilchrist Lee, but I'll give you guys that one. He was good.
The other thing we need to talk about is there were like four different Pollocks, right? So Pollock, the fast bowler that took wickets. Pollock, the really economical bowler who bowled in partnership with Makaya. And Tini, the strike bowler. So Polly puts pressure on one side And, you know, Makaya shyas them on the other side. Polly is a finisher with the bat. Polly with the finisher of the bat, your opening bowler, who's not in the team as an all-round, he's an opening bowler. He'd be the opening bowler in any team, but also a really, really, really good number six, number seven. And then, Polly for me as a captain, I felt so bad.
Yeah, I think that's the only
wasn't
thing.
The best captain. But it felt shit. When Smith came and took it from him. Yeah, captaincy let him down a little bit, but again, I was biased there because I felt shit.
But he's too nice of a person to be a captain. So
I agree. Captaincy probably wasn't for him.
But Sara, on your point there where you say, okay, he wasn't picked to be a batsman or whatever, I think Polly is the kind of guy who would, okay, you pick him alone on his bowling, because he's going to be opening bowler.
Yes.
Or you could pick him alone on his batting because he'll finish at number six.
Yeah, sure. But what I was trying to make with that point is, you know, when you think of Klusener, you think of him as a finisher and then, he's a good bowler as well. But like he's there more of a finisher than a bowler.
Yes.
Polly, out and out bowler. And I can't think of a modern day opening bowler that has that ability as an all-rounder. All the bowlers that can bat are like they in the team because they can do both.
He could have done a job at number three. We know that if that was what was asked of him. So he was a good batsman.
Coming at number seven, he's got a test 100. He's got ODI 100. He's done everything. Sean Pollock, close the debate, GOAT. One of the GOATs, one of the greatest of all time, absolutely. Then we follow that up with possibly Australia's best ever batsman, bar Don Bradman. Ricky Ponting.
GOAT.
I think he goes up
there
as well.
Yeah, we can quote him.
Okay, I'm not going to debate it. I'll put him in world class. But I guess so. Yeah.
We're conceding that. I mean, even if you thought of him as a world class batsman, the only thing that needs to take you, like, for you to consider to ride it over, as a captain, he was fantastic. World Cup winning captain. You could say that he captained a very good Australian side, but then he also captained in the transition. He captained just after the Damien Martin and Michael Bevan and all of that. He captained in that interim. He had a few that stayed with him
for himself,
but,
as well. 13,000-ish test runs, ODI runs.
I agree with it I don't think he was a good captain personally. I think he inherited a good side.
I don't disagree with it. He had a good side.
I think the thing was Damien Martin and them can lead the side. Like your batsman can lead. There was always batsmen coming into Australia. Like they were all talented. I mean, you got guys like Brad Hodges that hardly ever got a gap, and he averaged like 60 in Test cricket. But the thing with him is he had McGrath, he had Lee, and he had Warne.
What? Lee, take Lee out of the conversation. Apparently,
he's world class. What's Lee? You know? Is it on? Okay, fine. Leave Lee. You got Jason Gillespie. You got all this.
Look, all you need to say was Glenn McGrath.
I
shouldn't even mention Lee, actually.
But hey, if you're gonna call Brett Lee a goat, you must call Nathan Bracken a goat.
That's a good point. That's a 100%. Anyway, I'm happy with the way he's goat.
Rami's Raja next up. Rammers, I think.
Not right in the bottom. I'm with you in that he's an amazing commentator, but he's not stand out for me. He's another really good Pakistani English commentator.
Decent record. What's it? 200s in the World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, a shit player doesn't do that. So
exactly. I mean, they won that World Cup with him scoring runs. It's good enough for us.
Yeah.
He's got like almost 6,000 ODI runs. Brilliant stuff for him. Cool beans. Then the next one is the Akshar Patel of the past, Ravi Shastri.
Overrated.
Okay. Right?
That's my bias coming in. Because I don't like
defend that. I'm close to you. I was gonna say good, but
I will defend it on Kuv's behalf.
Because this guy, bro, my bias comes in there because I hate him as a commentator. He is biased towards the Indian team, so I am biased towards him, and he's just trash. And everybody just talks about him in this great light because we know Indian cricket has taken over the world and blah blah blah. So he's at the forefront of pushing that through the media. And I just can't stand him.
I'm going to go with overrated as well. Has anyone?
Okay, I think you sold me there, Kov. You make a good comment, and he also inherited an Indian team in almost like their prime. If you wanna say about that, when he was coach, when he was a commentator, IPL became a big thing, and he was like the face as a player. I think we all agree that Ravi was a bit of a average Joe, right? But when you talk about him in every other sense, I think I'm sold with your comment. They're cool. Overrated.
My man's going in as overrated.
Okay, can I defend him a little bit? I agree he's overrated, right? But what I'll say, he said one of the greatest commentary lines of all time. And it was, I think it was the last tour to South Africa, India were there. And I think they were 270 for four or something. They lost 6 wickets in like 10 balls. He's like, if you went out for a dump, I know it's all over them.
I remember that.
The thing is, I was a bit torn because Ravi is a funny guy and he's like kind of a likable character. But when Kuv mentioned what he mentioned, actually, you know what?
Kuv sold me as well, Kuv.
And then I realized, you know what? For all the nice and funny things he's done, for every time he's rocked up at a IPL presentation, drunk, clearly drunk, eyes bloodshot, handy on. Like, for me, I like those things about him. He's a good character, right?
All right.
You sold me. Yeah.
Next up, Scotty Styris. Interesting cricketer. I think for me, I would say good. I don't think he was great, but I don't think he was bad either.
I personally liked him because his body shape wasn't that of a typical cricketer.
Yeah, so,
yes, you sold me again.
But the funniest thing ever. So, do you know why that happened? He had a knee injury. He was a pace bowler. He had a knee injury and then had to stop bowling pace. He was an out and out bowler that couldn't bat.
I didn't know that.
And then he converted into a batsman that could bowl. So they tried to make him an off spinner. And he didn't want to bowl off spin, so he bowled medium pace. As we remember, 120 Ks thereabouts. He bowled that medium nonsense and batted. I think on that, maybe because of the change, we should say actually bump up. There was a great category. We should put him in there. He's a chubby O that made it. Come on.
Yeah. No, but for me, it's funny you say that because I think that's news to everyone. For me, what stands out in my mind is Scotty Styris's bowling action, which looked weird.
Odd.
And it was like the first time in an era where we introduced to like medium pace, because you were either a fast bowler or a spin bowler back then. 100%. And this guy would like amble into the crease and he bowled that thing. Interesting story.
Fast bowler, like, what's going on here? Like, you
know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's like one of the guys that you would want to like go to Hobnobs with, you know, like you get into a speech.
Get smashed and Scotty.
He was always like, when South Africa played New Zealand, if Scott Styris and, okay, there was Jacob Oram as well, but if Scott Styris was still there, you were like, there's a chance they might pull something out the bag. So, I don't know. Ideally, it would be great. I think we're going to go good with the respect that he actually is great, somewhere in between world-class and good.
You know, this good is actually really good, because if I'm looking past Russell Arnold, everyone else is flipping good. Like I don't know why you guys put Russell Arnold there. Everyone else is a banger in their own right.
I mean, because you brought this up, at the end of this, I will give everyone one non-debated change.
Okay. Russell Arnold, man.
We'll do this at the end, right? Right. Next up, and this, if anyone debates, I don't understand why. Shane Warne, I'm going to go straight to the top. Goat.
Yeah.
May his soul rest in peace. Warney defined an era of cricket. I have never seen anyone do the things he did with the ball. Ever. Mm. It's ridiculous. Nathan Lyon's one that ripped from outside the leg stump was nonsense. It buzzed.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That piece of a crack.
The best parts of his commentary that I enjoyed was his interactive sessions where he was explaining what he used to try and do to batsmen and the control he had over the ball, especially for a leg spinner. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And it was amazing. His insight and his knowledge of the game as well. People take that for granted. He had brilliant knowledge of the game and what a batsman is thinking.
Ridiculous.
He was one of those bowlers that would outfox the batsman, not just rely on pure bowling ability, but sort of predict what the batsman is going to do. And to have that skill is extremely rare, and he was the best at it.
I think also for me, you know, for anyone growing up in Australia, it's going to be hard to be a spinner. And when you think of Australian cricket and you think of Australian spinners, no one stands out. Yeah, they each individual spinner had his period or his blue patch. But to have stats like this, again, on Australian pitches, requires something really special.
Yeah, coming back to what Koo said, I mean, that interactive stuff. Like, I remember when the BBL first started and they had him mic'd up and stuff, and then Herschel Gibbs hit him through mid-wicket for six or whatever. And then he said, I think he's going to go again. What I'm going to do is I'm going to push it wider and he's going to hit it straighter to long off. And that's exactly what he did. He pushed it wider and Gibbs hit it straight to long off. I mean, I think the way he thought batsmen out rather than... Look, his general talent, his technical abilities were brilliant. He spun the ball a lot. He had spun both ways. But the way he thought about the game, I think... It was just unfortunate for England, for Australia that he didn't actually get to captain the side. I think they would have done probably better than.
But remember, he was also clutch. Like when they needed him, yes, he was there, and he took a wicket when a wicket was needed.
I agree. Everyone that complained, you remember when South Africa lost in that semi final, and everyone just remembers Donald f***ing it up. But South Africa were cruising that game. They were cruising that game. It shouldn't have come down to that situation. What it ended up at.
Mm.
Klusener saved them because South Africa were cruising and then Shane Warne came in and just completely smashed South Africa. Like,
No, I remember watching that.
People caught it. He took like 3 wickets for like 20-odd runs. And he was the one that turned the game around. It wasn't this Donald dropping the bats.
No, you're right. I think no one talks about the fact that it shouldn't have went to Donald.
It shouldn't have gone. Yeah, it shouldn't have gone to Donald. It was Shane Warne that changed that entire game.
You know, you mentioned he didn't get the chance to captain. Let's not forget he's known as Mr. Rajasthan because he's done so much for Rajasthan Royals from off the field, you know, shaping those youngsters, shaping the culture of the team to, you know, playing for them and then switching to just sitting there. He wasn't really a coach. He was more like a mentor, I think, just before he passed away. And it's just because they wanted a character like him around because... You know, he brings that vibe, I guess.
Some very nice memories shared. And I think we'll leave it at that with Shane Warne. Brilliant cricketer, brilliant character, and all-round top man. 8 to go then. Next up, Walker Yunus.
Okay, so Walker, I think, has to be GOAT as well.
Yeah, I agree.
I fully agree. For me, memories of Pakistan fast bowling outside Shoaib Akhtar was the era before these two guys, bowling in partnership. Bangers. Banger characters, banger coaches. Really like them. Also, really
like the
Cole
and York of Pakistan
cricket. Literally. Coombs is referring to Wasim and Waka for those of you that didn't get it already. But yeah, Wasim and Waka. In tandem.
Cole and York united. And just like United, Pakistan have deteriorated to dog shit.
I think that is absolutely spot on, and we'll leave it there for Waka. No debate needed.
You want to say something about his abilities to swing the ball, right? And who is the Australian bowler who has a shorter finger? I think it's Pat Cummins.
Yes, he does actually. Yes.
So that may be the edge. Which is giving these guys so much a swing. Because I remember when someone asked Cummins this, and then he gave the whole story, and I can't remember that, where him and his sister or something or whatever, and he's got a shorter finger, but he used it to his benefit because now he has this amazing ability to, you know, swing the ball. And we all know that Walker was a killer. Again, I'm speculating. We don't know if this is a thing.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree that... It could be a thing, and rightly so. Walker, I don't think anyone's ever got as much reverse swing in cricket history. But goated, definitely, and we leave him there. Next up then, a man that was dubbed to be the next Sunil Gavaskar, a man we debated very heavily just now, Sanjay Manjrekar. He never lived up to it. He got 2,000-something runs in tests and almost 2,000 runs in ODIs. I don't know, I think... He probably back to club cricket for my liking. Good commentator.
Overrated for me too. He's an above average commentator. I really like him as a commentator, but yeah.
But like Boy Mom said, you know, when Sanjay Mandrake came on the scene, everyone was like, ah, dude, this guy's next level.
Mm.
He just didn't live up to it. I mean, his stats are not terrible. But I mean, when you
compare average is almost 40 in tiers. I mean, it's not horrible. Exactly. But...
I mean, he's not there.
He played like, I don't know, like 40 or 50 tests and he's got like 400s batting at three. That alone, we've had this number three debate for long enough. Not worth it. So overrated, cool. Then the next one, someone who I think none of us have watched play cricket, but it comes back to your point earlier about Gilly changing the game for wicketkeepers. Ian Smith was a wicketkeeper batsman, but batted at nine. And in the time, was looked at as someone who could hold a bat. And what could hold a bat meant, batting at nine in ODIs, he averaged 17. He scored about 1,000 runs in his entire career. Got about 168 catches. But interestingly, he holds the record for the most dismissals in a single test innings. 7 of them, all catches, no stumpings. So he holds that record too, right? The most catches in a single test innings. Ian Smith, great commentator, has been around for a very long time. But as a cricketer, I think back to club cricket, let's be honest.
Yeah. But when you say it like that, he's probably the type of cricketer that South Africa needs right now. A number 9 wicketkeeper to open up another batting space. So, send him back to club cricket. We need him.
I can't argue with that. I don't think he was overrated. I think he's a great commentator, but I don't think he was a bad cricketer.
Yeah.
But he's a better commentator.
He's a better commentator than he is a cricketer.
I agree.
So we go there.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
yeah, we can do that as well.
Right.
So, and also, you must remember those 7 catches that he took. You must remember that back then he would have had Richard Hadlee in his side. And that was unbelievable.
Next up, then, Graham Smith. Buff, the man himself.
I think he's
built just like De Beers. I think he used him as inspiration, or vice versa. Yeah. And as just show us your thumb again. Just show us your thumb again, there one more time.
Yeah, we
both break fingers.
I went back to that after that as well.
Perfect. Living life in the name of Buff. Almost 10,000 test runs. Brilliant in ODIs as well, and a great captain. One of the best captains South Africa's ever had. I don't know. That debate could be had between Ansi Kroni and himself. I think he's world-class. I don't think we can go to him.
I'm going to him. Personally.
No, I'll world-class him too. I'll world-class him too.
Okay.
So we're going to leave him as a world-classer. Now, from one good opening batsman to another one who some could debate was good on some days, but then crap on others, much like the left arm over bullshit that he bowled, as Shane Warne called it. Aaron Finch, what do we make of him?
Overrated for me.
Overrated.
Ah, we all going there. Bang, no debate to be had. Finch is a great character. As a cricketer.
No, he's a great character. He's a very average commentator. He's a good character, very average commentator for me. But you summed it up there, like, he played amazing innings. He was really aggressive. But then there were more frustrating times with Finch than actually, you know, time to celebrate. So, yeah.
Next up then, definitely a much better opening batsman, Matthew Hayden.
Right, and a banger commentator as well.
Great commentator, 100%. Hados, what are we thinking?
A good person.
For me, I think a lot of people know Matty Hayden. We said great commentator, great person. Brilliant, aggressive opening batsman. And I don't know if you guys remember, was he the guy that came with that little stubby short bat and caused a bit of a stir?
The mongoose.
Yeah. Banger. I liked his aggressive nature batting for Australia and in club cricket. For me, I'm going to stick him right up there. World class, maybe.
Yeah, I'm going world class as well.
I agree. 100%. Same reason.
Cool with the ums and ahs. You say it's okay. You want
to
put it higher?
I'll give it to you guys. I just feel he was also one that was very much a partnership-based batsman. In the test arena, I don't think he did significantly much without Langer.
Yes.
So
fair enough.
He's good. I'll give it. I would have said good, but I can live with world class.
Look, I agree with Kuv with the reason that he gave. I think Matt Hayden was a flat pitch bully. Like, when it was flat, Yeah. He would score runs and he would score runs quickly.
I mean, but when he's a Queenslander. Tough, I mean, reliable.
Yeah.
His ODI record is good. He was an aggressive batsman. So, no, I can stick him up there. He's got the runs to back it up, so.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he's a great commentator as well, so that backs him up.
And he was a fantastic slip fielder. So, if you need anything more to put him a little bit higher, definitely there.
Yeah, I think a catchphrase you can use is talks the talk and walks the walk. Because in his case, does both.
Pretty much.
Also, he was a Chennai Super King, so.
Oh.
Sure, okay. Can we upgrade to GOAT there?
Well, we will let you whistle Podu on another day, but that day is not today. Got two to go. Next one up, Maritzburg-born South African. I don't want to call him a traitor because KP is a nice person.
No, KP is a banger.
KP is a banger.
Mm.
I think Kevin Peterson was world class.
I'm inclined to put him just like Matthew Aiden, because he, again, I think we mentioned it earlier, he brought something into that English test side, the aggression in that middle order. Same. You know, he was almost bringing Moggs's aggression and counter-attacking before Moggs became a Moggs, right?
There was a period, like 2 or 3 years where he was very inconsistent. But when he was on, he was on.
He was on for a long time with his 8,000 test runs and 4,000 ODI runs. And then he did it domestically in the T20 scene all the time. Always brought the action. Jeez.
Controversial figure. Maybe a big word, but aggressive character, but also a very nice guy. Aggressive on the field.
You can be controversial, but there's also good controversial. It wasn't controversial in the sense this guy, he should go to jail. But controversial in polarizing opinion.
It was aggressive on the field.
It stimulates a debate. Yeah. So he was a catalyst for a lot of those.
But one thing people could not debate was his
cricketing ability.
He was next level.
Do you think that he was as technically sound as most of the other great batters? Or was it his aggression that masked it?
Yeah, his aggression.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree.
You make a really solid point, Akuf, because I think someone said earlier about Matthew Hayden bullying. I think KP did that for the English side. He bullied the bowlers a little bit. Got a bit lucky, a few edges here and there. When it came off for him, chucked in those reverse sweeps and scoops, etc. Lucky, but
because if you tentative with the edge, you get caught. But if you swing in, then get in four. So
it's flying a third man, essentially.
Mm.
You swing, you get a broken finger.
KP, solid cricketer, and now we are finally onto our last one. He was in fact one of South Africa's better test seamers. And if you don't get that, you haven't watched the West Indies South African series. For South Africans, you'll get that 100%. Vernon Philander, excellent swing bowler.
No!
What are you saying, Kuf? What are you saying?
Must be humble. Remember that day.
I know where Kuf is going. Divish, you were there at Cubana, and we tried to get into. We try to say hi to Vernon, and his bouncers are like, "Yeah, do you know who this is? This is Vernon Philander. And then he went up to the bouncer, and the bouncer made him like an idiot. He's like, "Take your cap off." I must say, Vernon, good bowler. Yeah, but that's the half of it. He's an of a person, in my experience. Our three of us, we met him. And the other thing is, as a commentator, he's terrible.
I don't even know how he got that job, bro.
Look, he puts you to sleep all the time. You know, in South Africa, poos is a bad word, right? Poos is a bad word, right? But Vernon comes. They made him a commentator, and he's like, pooses it into the gap, pooses it to the leg side.
Here's the problem that we have, right? We don't have a category for such. And I'm so glad that Vernon ended up being the last one here. not a good commentator, was a great bowler, but a horrible person. There is really no category for him other than overrated. So what we're going to do in a very unique thing in this, there are 36 people here. Vernon Philander will not be rated because we don't rate him.
All you could have said was hi. You went on to act like a total duist, and then the bouncer made you feel like a lighty after that.
You ruined it. We were so excited that we saw him.
And then exactly.
Am I going to say he must go back to club cricket?
No, he deserves to be off the board.
I reckon he should be good, personally.
I have no personal qualms with judging people on their personalities, you know.
Come on.
No, I'm judging him with commentating skills because we got him on this because he's a commentator, but he's a terrible commentator.
But we're judging him, look, about him. This is what the whole thing comes down to. We're judging him on his cricket ability. Purely on his cricket ability.
And commentary.
I'm judging the guys on their commentating.
If I take personal...
Dude, he's too good to go by the club cricket.
We'll go good.
We're all going to go good then. Cool. Vernon Philander, you are good, but not as a person. Pretty simple.
Oh, you know what? Now that good category is actually good because it opens up with Russell and then ends with Vern. So like, and you got like world-class players in between.
Never forget that Vernon Philander was the second fastest in 50 test wickets.
Yeah, he was a good bowler. He's a good bowler.
Now we're signed, sealed, and delivered here, bar one thing. Everyone gets one free shot to push a person into a different category. You choose one, no debates. That's your one. That's the end of it. We'll start off with the Coombs.
So, I was commenting a lot on Russell Arnold, but if I don't do this, no one is going to. I'm moving Dini Kartik. I have to.
Is that what you're wasting your one lifeline on? Is that?
No, I smart Dini Kartik. Now, if you guys don't rate him as a cricketer, I'll be your friend. Let's put him at the bottom.
Okay. All right. Dini Kartik is apparently a greater commentator than he was a cricketer. Kuv, next. Let's go.
I firmly believe that life and being a human being comes before cricket. So, Vern, life comes back at you fast. Go back to club cricket.
Oops, I moved to the wrong place. Good.
I agree. Back to club cricket. You, Vern.
But I'll go Buff to GOAT.
Okay, it's not so harsh. It's not so harsh.
Graham Smith to GOAT. He's GOATed status as per you. Do I actually have anyone here that I am well and truly unhappy with? So, we've said it a lot here, but this little meat butcher is going to go because Russell Arnold doesn't belong in a sequence of good cricketers. He's going to go back to club. He can stay there. And I think that looks a lot better.
So, think about it this way now, right? The way I'm looking at it, the first two lines, your starting team, the good guys are on your bench or the support structure, and the bottom guys are commentating. The middle can f*** off. That is, I mean, think about it, right?
No, you're right. That's perfect.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that tier list is a good ranking of where these current modern day commentating household names stand in terms of their cricketing ability. If you disagree with what we have on screen, right, Sher? Let us know in the comments, where would you put who? And also now, we plan on doing another tier list not too long from now, but we would love to know what you would like to see. Should it be batsmen? Should it be controversial batsmen? Should it be bowlers? Should it be all-rounders? Should it be players from a particular country? You let us know and we'll think about it and then pop in the names that you want to see on the list in the comments as well. Now, if you enjoyed this one, hit the like button and the subscribe button as well. Stay tuned for everything that is to come from Three Shots and a Dot. You can also follow us on all the audio platforms. And until the next one, don't forget to pour a shot and cheers.